Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Big prospect today is Christian Watson, a receiver out of North Dakota State. A lot here. 6'4", 208, 436, one of the best testers in combine history at the receiver position. 38.5 vertical jump, 136 broad, that's 99th percentile. The vert is 82nd percentile. Height adjusted speed score is good for 98th percentile. It's got a BMI of 25.3, so a little on the thin side, but it's fine. 2.83 career yards per route run. It's good for 88th percentile. Targets per route run, it's just targeted on 24% of the routes that he's run. That's 55th percentile, so you see a pretty good split there. Contested targets, a higher than expected number for some of the testing stuff. So 22.3% of his targets were contested. That is 31st percentile. So not great there in terms of creating that separation we like to see. Broken tackle once every 5.75 receptions. That is good for 63rd percentile. So that's good. And you would expect, you know, a lot of the comments about him in the scouting stuff is, hey, there's room for growth physically, could grow and the like there. So you would expect to potentially see a little bit more well-rounded physical profile as we go forward. Max yards per route run in his career was actually 4.28. That is the 98th percentile. Max percent of his routes he was targeted on was 33.5 percentile, so basically one third of every routes. That's 89th percentile, so pretty good there. Contested catch success rate is 34.3% this past year. It's good for only 20th percentile, so I don't love that. It's not a great. I'm sorry, that was on his career. I don't love that in terms of running a lot of contested catches and not running them all that well, right? Not creating separation and not doing well in them. Not a great sign. So don't necessarily love that. I mean, this is basically a physical traits type projection. He broke out late. He'll be a 23-year-old rookie as well. And this is basically a run first, really run heavy offense. You just don't get a ton of, you don't get a ton of work from him. And the numbers look good on a market share basis, but there's obviously questions about him, from a developmental perspective of coming from a run first offense where he wasn't asked to run a full route tree. So I think there's a lot physically here for him, but I think a lot of projection as well. From the Ringer, Watson doesn't always play through contact at the catch point and had a few drops on tape. He's thin and may need to bulk up a bit in the pros to win more battles on jump balls and contested catch situations. Absolutely saw that. Shows up in the stats for sure. PFF was pretty critical. Have him a third round grade. Fights the ball in the air with ugly drops all over his tape. Consistent drop issues. Doesn't use size to his advantage. Runs routes as printed in the playbook and doesn't set up defenders. Which is interesting because that actually conflicts with some other stuff. Matt Waldman actually complimented his setup and his breaks and a lot of his route stuff too. Says that he has the ability to grow and his usage there. So I think that's an interesting one. PFF did like explodes and cuts like a much smaller man. I did look and see Kevin Cole over at PFF did some comps for him, and it's just, again, there's not a ton of comps, but largely an underperformer, I think, in terms of some of the market share stuff. Not a career high of 35% market share receptions, of receiving yards. So again, not really all that high coming out old. And, you know, you sort of add that up and it's not necessarily a great combination. So he ran, Kevin Cole over at PFF ran the comps. He comes back with Devin Smith, Robert Meacham, Sterling Shepard, AJ Jenkins, Sammy Coates, Josh Doxson, Jason Hill, going back to 2007, Nelson Aguilar, Donnie Avery, and James Washington. Those are all between 20 with Aguilar and 87 with Coates. That's sort of the range that you're looking at. All on the older side, and I would say thinner as well. Better testers than producers, right? So that's, I think, you're basically your set of comps there. Sammy Coates is one that I've seen bantied about a couple of times in terms of him. Chris Conley as well is another one that I've seen actually used as a comp for him. Again, those were day two guys. Back in the era where I was like, I need every flashy, athletic day two wide receiver on my dynasty team, I'm going to roster 14 of them. Sammy Coates and Chris Conley were a core part of my strategy, which I've learned a lesson from. Listen, I think Watson it's the swing you want to take, right? Like, what are you looking to accomplish? Do you want to have a big time success, or are you trying to hit a single or a double? For an NFL team, I think it matters a little bit. You have to decide for yourself what you want to do with that. But if you are a fantasy team, what are you trying to do as well? Right? What's your aim on some of this stuff? I think if he's selected at the end of the first round, that's going to be interesting because he's going to have a good quarterback. He's probably going to have a stable system. Do I want him to go at like the top of the second round in Houston? Don't love that. Do I want him to go bottom of the first round? Maybe it's even a situation, as you start looking around, maybe it's even a situation where he might even be blocked, right? I don't know if you're going to force feed him into a Green Bay situation, for example. I think Kansas City is one that, everyone's going to mock everyone in Kansas City because it's a good situation, but you look around and they've got Juju on a 1-year deal. They've got, they have Travis Kelce, right? They've got some other pieces there that you could say, it's not, right? You don't need him to go out there and play, and he can, you don't need him to go out there and play 100% of snaps. You don't need to sort of force feed him 120 targets. He can go out there, play a situational outside vertical role, and grow into it with a good quarterback, with a good coach, with some stability, and the like, right? That's kind of something that I would rather see. You have Marquez Valdes-Scantling there as well, right? You've got, you could sort of bring him along a little bit. Could absolutely see a situation like that with some patience as well. Is a situation like Tennessee in the market for something like this? I'm not sure. If I keep coming back to like Buffalo, what's Buffalo want to do with this pick? Dallas would be another interesting one. Again, good quarterback. I don't know how stable the system is, but they can use him in like that Gallup type role on the other side and create space for CD Lamb. I'm not sure how well that ultimately fits together. It seems like a lot of vertical perimeter stuff. I think later in the round does make some sense. Arizona might make some sense as well. We'll see how stable that system is with the quarterback and the like. New Orleans would be an interesting one for him as well, pairing on the opposite side of Michael Thomas, but might actually force him into some more pressure. The Chargers would be interesting. Again, they pick in the mid first at 17, then don't pick again at 79. So a lot of spread there. But are they a potential trade down team and select one of these guys? Like that would be, all that stuff would be interesting. Where I wouldn't love it is you come back on the backswing around. Like, do you really want him to land in Jacksonville or in Houston? Right, with the what are the Jets doing, right? You don't love sort of those situations. So I'd rather see him get paired with a good quarterback in a stable system just because he needs some development. It's a somewhat of a raw player, and if you have a stable system, you can maybe maximize that. That's kind of my pitch for Watson. So again, if he's a round one guy, I think he's probably going to fall down. I think he's going to be fourth, fifth, sixth guy off the board. I expect London will go ahead of him. I expect Jameson Williams will go ahead of him. Olave and Garrett Wilson, probably Treylon Burks, right? And if that's the situation you're going to sit in, you know, you're picking late first, right? If you're sitting there and there's, you know, three quarterbacks have gone off and there's maybe three or four running backs, and you know, and you're sitting there and it's, you know, 112, 201, something like that, and Watson's the last guy on the board there, I like it. You know, if he's going to get drafted into the Packers and he's going to go wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 2, I don't love it. Right? This is a calculated upside bet. You know, a lot of what we do with these guys in this range is not something that we can totally predict. So yeah, lean into the cheapness of it and lean into some of the physical traits of it. And see, and the good thing about a guy like Watson is you don't necessarily need to hold forever, right? If you get an early reveal, some of the stuff that we've been looking at, like yards per route run and the like, you can get a look at it and see what it tells you and know to move on, right? And sort of be ahead of that aspect of it. So that's a place that for AOD, I think, with a guy like Watson that we might be able to exploit as well. So again, I like the player. I think he's interesting from a cost has to be reasonable. You have to, it's the pedigree's got to be there. Yeah, I'd like to see a good situation. And I think you need to temper your expectations a bit. But all that being said, you know, if you put him on the opposite side of the Bills, for example, of the opposite side of Diggs, you've got Gabe Davis. Like you have the ability to sort of use him to stretch the field and the like. I think that's interesting. You know, but if he's forced into being the wide receiver 1 in Detroit, I don't love that. You know, so that would be sort of wide receiver 2, whatever, on the opposite side of Amon-Ra St. Brown, however you want to order those guys. So don't love that. So that's really the situation there. Again, I think he's an interesting guy, did pretty well, low passing volume, high efficiency, but later on in his career, and I think questions about how he might translate and the like. So that'll wrap for this episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.